Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm joined this afternoon by Ashwini, who is here with us on the occasion of this being the last day to order your 2014 Bridgewalk t-shirt. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, perfect.
Great. So, you know, we always have a fabulous design for the Bridgewalk t-shirt, and this year is no exception. And I just thought this year's process of creating was especially fun, and that there's so many elements of it that we've kind of shown a little bit through the process of sending out the emails leading up to the deadline, but kind of the symbolism of all the different things on the t-shirt. So we thought it would be fun to talk about the practice principles around some of that.
Absolutely, and to me, it's so about the theme of the year, about, you know, the philosophy of why we walk together, because the concept of it was a collective process of creation. It was inspired, actually, by a Sangha member who attended a workshop in Seattle, and we invited her to do the t-shirt, and, you know, it was almost like it was just one of those spontaneous, she had an idea, and we told her what the theme was, and then she suggested the footsteps of the Buddha, which are the lotus petals. Mm-hmm. And then once we got the idea, and you know, a whole bunch of us got together to look at how we could make that symbolic to the practice, to what we've been doing. And so it just, for me, the t-shirt is such a wonderful way of symbolizing why we walk together, because that's what it is, right? Together as a Sangha.
Yeah,
we create wonderful things.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, Ashwini, because you just took it to a whole other level that I actually hadn't seen. So there's the actual symbolism of each thing on the shirt, but I hadn't thought about how the way in which it unfolded is the process that what's on the t-shirt points at, which is really
exactly
fun.
Exactly.
And that, you know, you said that, you know, we all got together. That can make it sound like, okay, so we all got in one room and we got out a piece of paper, but that isn't, you know, what actually happened was this, as you say, for whatever reason, it dropped in to invite this woman to into the t-shirt process. She had this fabulous idea. From that was sent out. Then someone else had this idea. That was sent back. Then someone else added this. I mean, it was just an amazing process.
Yes, and to me, that is what is so magical about the project in Cantalomba, right? Because every aspect, every person who participates actually contributes to the whole, to the whole, as a stop there, to the whole nothing, dot, 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 just to the whole. And so that is what it symbolizes. We have to walk together because it takes every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
And that,
to do a t-shirt or to do the work in Cantalomba, I mean, it takes Teresa, it takes you, it takes every person contributing, every person walking. That is the symbolism, or that's sort of what the campaign embodies, right? Every step we take together, and we are taking together because that's an embodiment of our practice, and that's what the whole. The elements of the composite of the t-shirt composes of. So the lotus is the symbol of purity. It is the joy of the fullness of awareness, right? That is what moves all of us. That's our authentic nature. That's what we are all walking for. And then the footsteps on towards the compassion is the path to our authentic nature. Mm-hmm. And we have to walk that path together. And so in this particular case, walking for a specific cause, which is our project in Cantalomba, which really symbolizes, I mean, that's the Africa with the lotus on Zambia and the footsteps that are walking towards the lotus, because in walking the path of compassion, we achieve compassion, we become compassion, and that's at the highest level of what we're doing in our spiritual practice, and therefore it's embodied in what we're doing in the project. And that's what we get to experience.
Yeah, and, you know, I just saw something profound in what you said. I'm not quite sure I can put the words to it, but, I mean, we say it all, well, it's the process is the outcome. That's what it is, which is that as we each participate, We receive the compassion, we are the compassion, we offer the compassion, we receive the compassion from each other.
Yes.
And you could say compassion, you could say love, you could say, you know, you could put so many things in that spacer. And I think that's one of the things that moves people a lot about African culture is that that idea of Ubuntu. You know, mm-hmm. there's that beautiful picture we took at the huge mural in the Johannesburg airport. It's actually in a couple of places that it says something along the lines of, if you want to go quickly, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And to me, the reason why it's so profound and so inexpressible is because it points to that non-separation, right? When there is no separation, then you can't talk about it because there is no process and there is no outcome. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? The together doesn't mean that it together celebrates the uniqueness of each of us that embody all aspects of intelligence. And that's mm-hmm. the all. And mm-hmm. yet every single one of us is the intelligence, and that is the one. And that is, it's sort of that aspect of our practice that is so, or aspect of what the Buddha was teaching that was so not, you can't describe it, which is why then that famous story, Buddha and the Kashyapa are supposed to have looked at each other and he holds up the lotus and they both smile. The mm-hmm. lotus is that symbol of understanding that we get, right, mm-hmm. through that direct experience that is the root of Zen practice of what it is that we understand, that joy of what we know that we just can't express. And so, yes. you know, choosing the lotus as that as the symbol of our practice, that as the symbol of this campaign, that is the symbol of upping our game for the year, that's what it was about.
Mm. Wow. It's profound. Yeah. And it really does speak to the why it's the, you know, the more we give, the more we get. Like, it feels like that place of, you know, I'm constantly hearing from Teresa and the team, oh, thank you so much for everything you guys do. And we're constantly saying over here, no, thank you, because we receive so much from it.
Yes. And so, well, and, yeah. you know, Jen, we were in Bethlehem recently, and I mean, almost 60, 75% of the people at the retreat were all walking every chance they got, right, outside walking. It was just yeah. the most incredible experience. And I remember the sisters who run the place kind of looking at us going, what are you going? What is this about? And, what's going on? And we were talking about how all of us are walking for Africa. And they were so moved. In fact, so moved by the Sangha, the gravity of our practice, the commitment mm-hmm. of the people, that one of the mm-hmm. sisters asked for There Are No Secrets DVD because she wanted to learn how to meditate the way we
wow.
do.
Wow.
And so it's that, right, that wherever yeah. wherever it goes, this practice has an integrity that just reaches out to people, and everybody's yeah. commitment and joy and willingness is just love, right? That's yeah. what we all seem to embody, that we get together to celebrate, and that's why that a project in Africa is so special, because that's yeah. what it's about.
Yeah, 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 and then that the team over there is doing their, you know, so excited about our walking and our steps and all that, and so they're doing their words, you know, reading their words, and just how fun it is to hear about the enthusiasm that's the way they're expressing it.
Yes, and I love it. I love the article that came, I think the newsletter came out today, I'm not sure, but I don't want to give it away. It's something that you said in your article where it's not about keeping score. It's yeah. totally, they don't. If they don't get to 52 million words, they don't care. They're just so engaged in participating. And that sure. is also what those footsteps symbolize, right? For every person who is determinedly walking those 10,000 steps a day or whatever they've chosen, it's just that I'm engaged, I'm here, I'm participating, I'm doing it. I'm doing the practice. I'm doing
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
Or I am being yeah. love.
Yeah. Yeah, that was such a funny moment when I, you know, as I wrote about in the article, where Teresa just, you know, was all excited to report how many words they had read, and I just got it. Oh, they're not doing the math on how many words it would
not
take.
Not as obsessively as I'm looking at my VivoFit and going, have I reached my 10,000 steps for the day? You know,
exactly.
kind of thing.
But, you know, I mean, what was so moving to me about it was the incredible enthusiasm to report whatever the number was. with no like, but that's not going to add up to what we're trying to get to, because we're not trying to get to anything. What we're trying to get to is the experience of being lit up and doing it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, so we were debating whether or not to put the 52 million steps on the T-shirt collectively that we want to go. And one of the reasons is that's not what it's about, right? That's just the way we get excited. But the footsteps lead to the lotus. The footsteps do not lead to 52 million steps.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. The footsteps lead to themselves.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, the rest of the T-shirt actually symbolizes the event of the bridge walk, which in itself is such a symbolic event, because we don't get there we don't get together in order to raise money. We get together to celebrate the work and the practice that we did, which is something that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate won't let us do, right? Every year, whoever does whatever and contributes whatever, and that's it. You know, we just move on and do the next thing. And we're taking the time to consciously celebrate, worship, accept, receive the generosity and compassion that our authentic nature has been. Sponsored, that helped create the event. Because everybody is pitching. In all kinds of ways.
It's very moving. And so there is still time there. I think, 4 more hours to sign up and to get a T-shirt, to either come to the walk if you can physically be with us, but certainly to register to get a shirt and join with us in spirit wearing your shirt. And also just to put a plug in for the steps walked, because I am positive that we're not hearing from everyone who's walking those steps. I think in the newsletter, I think it's coming out, you know, on Friday, that we're something around, I think, 7 million, which is amazing. But I'm positive there are way more steps being stepped than we're hearing about. So people,
absolutely. And hopefully we'll try to send a few emails to encourage people to do that, because we would love to announce how many steps we all did at the bridge walk.
Exactly. All right. Well, anything else, Ashwini, before we end?
No, but I think we're all going to wear Cantalumba colors on October 5th, right?
I think 4th.
I keep getting confused. October 4th. Black and terracotta, right?
Yeah.
With white.
I'm really excited to see the shirt in person once it's printed. What's fun is we don't actually see it until the actual day, because it gets printed.
Yeah.
I mean, we pick it up from the printer the night before. But I think it's going to be quite elegant, so pretty excited.
Yeah, well, and it's always the person who goes and picks up the T-shirt that we envy, right? Because they get they not only pick it up, they wear it and walk onto the field with it. It's so unfair.
And then we all mob the boxes,
Exactly.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for being with us, Ashwini.
Thanks. It was a fun process to be part of, and such a privilege, as always.
Yeah, much agreed.
Okay. Take care, Jen. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ashwini. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to be here again.
Yes, I've been following along with the emails and the T-shirt development, so that's fun.
Have you, isn't it? I thought that was fun, how it was revealed a little bit each day.
I really like that idea.
That's fun. Yep.
And I was trying to remember the email address where people send in their steps. And
it's
it's Why We Walk.
Yes, it is. Yep. It's Why We Walk.
So Why We Walk at livingcompassion.org. That's W-H-Y, We Walk. And so people would send how many steps they're doing there?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, good. Well, I'm in that silent camp that you haven't heard from yet.
I know. I'm positive. I mean, I think we're just going to blow it out of the water, but we have to hear from people in order to do that.
Great. Yeah. Okay. I'll get mine in.
Excellent.
Would you like me to kick off the announcements? Anything else you want to start with?
No, I'm good. Let's go for announcements.
Okay. There are two group coaching opportunities on Sangha Market, The Magic of Menus, and Mornings with the Mentor. Registration ends on October 1st, and both of those programs start a week later on October 8th. So look for the Little Monk. Go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say both sound like very good topics.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So go to sanghamarket.com, look for the Little Monk, and you can learn more about these supports for your practice. And as Ashwini and Jen were just talking about, come to the Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 4th. I think you said there were 4 hours left to order your T-shirt. Is that right,
Jen? That's what I'm told, yeah.
Okay. This is your chance to walk with Sangha and support our work in Africa. And I understand a lot of exciting events this year, including a new one or two in the mix.
Yeah, yep. There are. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun time. Yep, for sure.
Great. Great. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Great.
So let's get started here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. It's Janice from Vancouver.
Hi.
Hey, Janice. How are you?
I'm really appreciating practice. There's so much going on, and they're really big things regarding life. And I think if they were one thing at a time, I would be okay. But when there's like four, and they're really big, it's kind of astonishing.
It can be a lot.
It is, yeah, it really is a lot. And what I've noticed is that I feel like it's the same with phoning into the radio show. I'm practicing being live for life. And every week I'm phoning in and I don't necessarily get on, but I celebrate who is on and I get to enjoy their what they say, their insights, and you know, just when the time is right, I'll be unmuted.
Yeah.
And it just feels perfect.
Yeah. And you know, it's what I hear in that, and this might be the point you're making, but that attitude of mind is something we can carry with us through all of life's content. But it reminds me of a conversation Sherry had with someone on Open Air some weeks back, where they were talking about that sense of thy will be done. And
yeah,
there can be this subtle, you know, okay, I'm going to turn over my will to you, life, but now you got to give me what I want, right? But that sense of that, what I hear and what you're saying is that very big place of thy will be done, where a lot of times I can't see how this is okay. I can't see how this is a gift for me. I might not even be able to see in the moment how I'm going to be okay, but to be held, all of that held in that larger place of knowing that we are okay at the most profound level is really an amazing practice.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm appreciating. And it seems to me that the steps, you know, I'm just doing my steps of just being with life, and I know that there's another step to take, but I don't know what the step is, how I should do it. And with living like this, it seems exactly at the right time the information comes in, and then I take that next step. Or we have some more information, and that's the direction it goes. And it's just now just really clicking, like that having faith that when a next step is necessary, if I feel urgency, I know that's not the timing, and to pause. And it's just dropping in. The right people are showing up to offer the information, and is quite phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to cultivate that willingness to do that, to stay So there's the urgency of conditioning, like, come on, you got to take a step right now. You got to, and often if we haven't cultivated that trust that you're talking about, that faith, then we will. We'll just, okay, I'll just do this. And then it creates difficulty for us, and maybe it puts us in an increasingly suffering place. And then it can wear away that faith. I mean, look, I'm not being taken care of. Things aren't going well. This is hard. Mm-hmm. But when we can cultivate that place of, okay, just hang on to that zafu and just sit still until that urgency passes, until, as you say, the right person shows up, you know, the information is there, then it really, we really do start to see that bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. And what I have seen, my experiences, the right information has been showing up in all these different areas on these different contents, but had I got all that information at once, it would have been overwhelming. So it shows up, but it shows up. Its timing is impeccable.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Oh, it's life-saving, and it's definitely like live for life, because I really realize, like, I do not have any control, but I can make qualified choices when the right information comes through.
Yeah, that's so well put. And, you know, as you were talking, what I just saw is how crucial, at least for me, the relationship with the mentor, that mentoring presence is, in the sense of, so when I am just waiting, you know, just sitting with, just waiting for the next step to become obvious to me, and there can be some discomfort in that.
Mm-hmm.
To have that unconditionally loving presence with me who just says, I'm right here, you know, I'm right here. I know it might be hard, you know, whatever's going on. It might be sad or confusing or frustrating or whatever's the feelings go with it. But I'm right here with you. It's all right. And that, just that sense of not being alone in that process of being willing to sit still with all of it.
Yeah, so not being alone and feeling held.
Yeah, feeling held.
So one of the things is that I wanted to just mention that, because I'm not going too far afield and I need to be home to oversee things, and my sacred place is my garden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some major destruction next door that's chewing into our land and losing our land. And it the whole thing is, it's become a legal issue too. But I put my foot down at my vegetable patch and said, no more.
Uh-huh.
And my plants, my flowers. And so my steps are in the garden. And anytime there's some issue, I bring people into the garden, that we discuss it in the garden. Mm-hmm. And I've picked flowers for the garden, and I've got something I wanted to do for the bridge walk. Last year, I was too afraid to ask. I wanted to ask certain offices, like doctors and dentists and things like that, if they would be willing to donate, and I would bring flowers. And I was at the dentist, and I thought, you know, I was going to do this last year. Now is the time. And I have different places now where, from now until the bridge walk, every Monday, I bring bouquets from my garden.
Oh, my gosh, Jana. Wow. So, like, for example, at the dentist's office, someone walks in, and there's a beautiful homemade from someone's garden pick bouquet of flowers. And then the dentist donates whatever they want to donate to the project in return for the flowers.
Yeah, they donate online, and I don't need to know what they donated. They just have to tell me they've made a donation.
Wow. That is practice through and through, just everything about it. I love it.
So wow. I just love the fact that it took me a whole year, and I realized when I was there, I was too afraid to ask last year. I was vetoing myself. And if I don't invite people, how do they know it exists?
Yeah. And you know what's so fun about that is that what I see in that is celebrating the last year of practice that brought you to this place of being able to do it.
Yeah, Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is very inspiring.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
Mike.
Take care. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. Jen, I just love that, too. That was great.
Isn't that fun? I'm thinking, like, now how could she get those flowers to me from Canada? Because I want to do that. Wow. I love it.
Yeah, that was fun. And you know what I noticed is it tied into the earlier part of her conversation of waiting for the information from life to come in. You know,
exactly.
You can't rush that if there's any urgency.
Yep.
And she just, you know, she waited. The information came in. It's beautiful.
Yep. So last year, it wasn't time yet.
Right.
And this year it was.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, let's see what nuggets the next caller has.
Okay, let's do it.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Bridget from Virginia.
Hey, Bridget.
So I have to say that I got on very late, and I missed the very beginning. So it sounds like Jen and Michael, is that right?
That is right.
Fantastic. And also that instead of you are now unmuted, you can now ask your question.
Yeah, it's different wording, isn't it? Yeah, with our new platform. Yeah,
it's very exciting.
So what's going on with you?
I called in tonight because I, the past few months I've been kind of a little bit in the dark room. Probably not super deep in the dark room, and it's been for like a variety of different contents, I guess. And one of them, though, has been that I run a lot, and I've had an injury to my ankle, and it's prevented me from doing the running that I want to. And so the voices have really crept in about just, well, you should, and all the things that happen if you don't. And I'm finally being able to start running again. And what's interesting is they're, now that I'm healthy and can run, they're still trying to find ways for me not to run.
Mm-hmm.
And before they were, hounding me about why I should be running, even though I was injured. And so a really interesting thing happened today. I was coming home from work and I was planning on running, and the voices started about all the reasons that I shouldn't run. And one of them was, well, you really would like to listen to some of the old podcasts from the show. And so you should just, stay at home and do that. And all of a sudden I realized, I can actually run and listen at the same time. And so that's what I did.
Good for you. And, it's so pernicious, isn't it? I mean, that voice is talking to you. I mean, well, you this and you that and you this. And I mean, it's clearly a self-hating voice, even though, when it has that sort of la-di-da demeanor, sometimes it doesn't catch our attention as readily, and it can seem like it's on our side and it's kind of reasonable, but it's just not true.
So much. It especially, here lately, and for me, it's often sort of a pattern, like one thing creeps in and then it just sort of snowballs on itself. And before I know it, wow, all of a sudden I'm really in the dark room and I don't know what to do. And then they start to beat me up about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was just really nice today when I could, it was almost like one of those, you kind of snap out of it, you feel like, you just like, I don't know, the light got turned on and I was like, actually, I can listen and I can run, but thank you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm guessing that's going to be applicable kind of across the board, because it sounds like running is just one of the things that's contributed to the process of being in the dark room.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, the other big thing has been sort of dealing with some people close to me sort of coming forward with what I will say is kind of their story about things and events that I've been involved in that are fairly inaccurate, but it's hard to deal with someone who's really not listening and is just sort of, well, really letting their own ego kind of dictate the conversation and trying to deal with how to be okay with that and to know that it's not really a reflection on me.
Yeah, that can be tricky, huh?
Yeah, it's been a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one thing to know intellectually, you know, we can get it, we can say it, you know, we've read it in books and that kind of thing, but to really experience, oh, wow, I don't need to take what's going on with that person personally. It has nothing to do with me and doesn't even need to impact how I am, you know, how I'm feeling, how my day is going at all.
Yeah, like completely. You just hit it so right on the head with what you just said, and it's been a real practice. And in practicing to keep myself, you know, to bring myself back to that and to remind myself, like, you know, okay, this is all going on and that's fine, and it actually really has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Yeah, or how I am.
And I'm curious, Bridget, if you can remember, what kinds of things have been helpful in reminding yourself of that? Like, how have you brought yourself back?
So, running helps. And so that was part of, I think, what contributed to, like, staying in the dark room was because one of the things that often helps, you know, for me, running is usually like a working meditation. Mm-hmm. And so that's really helpful for me. But just really breathing when I would start to feel kind of worked up or anxious or starting to think like, well, when I see them, this might happen, and then I'll do this or then I'll do that, or how dare they do this? And, I mean, it was just crazy because I wasn't even in the situation yet, and the voices were telling me all the things that were going to happen and what I should do. And so just sort of breathing and really truly stopping and just reminding myself that, okay, well, where I'm at right now is completely fine. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in the situation where I'm around these folks, I'll just basically let life lead. And it was interesting because part of during the time when this was all kind of going on was in the middle of the last email class.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like that was extremely helpful because I had, you know, constant interaction and reminders about letting life lead and, you know, being able to reflect on that and read other people's responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you're pointing at another, like, what can be a subtle point, but so critical, which is that, you know, the voice talking to us saying, well, okay, so they're going to say this, and then here's what you need to say, and you need to do this, and to get it, that is completely unhelpful. That we're never going to, you know, if we use a kind of game metaphor, training on the content level is never going to work. That what we need to do, of course, is we're training to be present. We're training to, as you say, let life lead. So whenever we find ourselves in the dark room, you know, in that place of suffering, never to go to the content, but always just go to the process of being present, because that's what's going to prepare us for, you know, being as skillful as we want to be when we're in the situation again.
Yeah, and I think one thing that was really helpful for me was realizing that I had listened to this conversation about a dinner that was going to take place, and was actually reassuring my husband that, well, you know, don't get worked up. You know, when everybody gets here, we'll just see how it goes and it'll be fine. And I realized, yeah, I was talking to him like the mentor, and I needed to listen myself. Because I was having, you know, the same conversation in my own head with, you know, subtle differences. And the truth is, too, that you can, the voices, you know, they lead you and say, well, you should this and you should that and this will happen and you should do this. And frankly, then you get there and none of that happens and you end up feeling completely unprepared.
Exactly. Precisely. Yeah. So do you have a recording and listening practice?
I do.
So I bet that's been of assistance with all this.
It has. It's been, thank you for bringing that up. Because it's been, that has actually also been a tremendous help just when I'm feeling, you know, just any, whether it's that particular content or any other content, I've really gotten used to picking up the recorder and recording and listening and talking with the mentor.
Yep. That's it. Gotten used to it. You know, that's what we're doing. What we're trained to do from a really young age is to be in conversation with conditioned mind, but that's the place we go to, and we don't realize we're doing that, of course. It's just a complete default habit. And so that's what awareness practice is. It's simply learning to focus the attention. And recording and listening is just, you know, it's just a manifestation of letting life lead, of being in, quote, conversation, if you will, with life, instead of being in conversation with an imaginary voice in our head that isn't at all on our side, that hates us.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that's so interesting through recording and listening is I've really gotten used to the sound of my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now I almost, that is what the kindness sounds like to me, and it's funny because the voices sound nothing like that.
Yes, very good point. Yeah, we start to really get more and more tuned into what's life and, you know, what's the voices, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and very, very helpful for when we do start to hear, you know, what's the voice in our head that's not on our side, then it's really, you know, okay, I don't want to be in that conversation, and we really can make that choice.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited. This is obviously based on the start. This is the first time I've called in with the new format, so really exciting.
Excellent. Well, thanks for calling in tonight. Glad you got through.
Absolutely. Me too. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You too.
Thanks for joining us, Bridget. And that was a great commercial for recording and listening there, Jen.
Yeah, it was. Yep. It worked.
Good. Yes, it does. And let's hear another commercial right now. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old-timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Janice.
Hey, Janice. The Janice night.
What?
It's the Janice night.
It is the Janice night, definitely. This is Janice from North Carolina. And I apologize, my phone has static in it, so if you hear static, that's my phone, and there's nothing I can do about it.
And we can hear you perfectly. I can hear the static a little bit, but it's not a problem.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I just thought I would raise my hand, and conditioning nearly got me off, but I was going to have to hang up to get off and miss the show.
Oh, good for you. So you were stuck participating.
Yes.
I love it. It was
just so strong. It was wild.
The voice that was trying to get you to not do it, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and it's kind of perfect, Janice, isn't it, actually? Because it's a little bit like what we started off with. And you just sat still. And that's all it takes. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Life puts us in the game. Life puts us in the game. And then I'll bet you just a ton of how suffering begins and how life gets small for each of us is that we get talked out of taking ourselves out of the game. But if we could just sit still as life has put us in the game and just stay put, life does all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just noticed it, you know, like I was present enough to notice that.
Yeah.
It was this pull that I wasn't going to do, but it was a very strong pull.
Well, and that's another good point, is that is kind of what's required, is the awareness piece. Because if you weren't there to see that, of course, you just hang up. Because, I mean, a million reasons. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I'm scared. I have nothing important to say, blah, blah, blah. But if you're present and you hear the voice that says, you shouldn't talk for whatever reason, and then you just know, well, I'm not going to listen to that. And you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then something that I did the at-home retreat this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And something that came in fairly clearly was we were doing an exercise where we did something at 100%, like, you know, just went for it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? We did that and, it was looking at kind of what we thought about play versus work. And in my experience, it's not helpful at all for me to distinguish between doing things and think that one's work and one's play, you know. It's just more...
Mm-hmm.
If I'm present, I enjoy whatever I'm doing, you know, no matter what it is.
Yep, I'm right with you.
But what I hadn't really ever seen before is that I decided to go outside and run, so this mm-hmm. as an example, and I hadn't seen before that I completely was in conditioning as far as what I believed giving 100% was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for like the run, 100% would mean running the entire time, you know, like as fast as athlete that you've ever seen is running, right? And it didn't include walking at all, who knows what could happen during that run. And at one point, I was running up a hill, I mean, like a really steep hill, and barely moving, you know,
mm-hmm.
definitely not the fast. Vision that had been planted in my mind, just mm-hmm. barely making it up this hill, you know. But life kept bringing in things like, you know, 100%, giving 100% looks very different all the time. It's always changing, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been looking at, like, when it comes, like, what comes in to set an expectation. So an idea comes in, and then, I just go with the expectation of the outcome, I guess. And I don't know, that's what I've been looking at.
So let me see if I'm following. So the expectation of the outcome is what conditioning wants to make the 100%, yeah?
Like, yes.
No. And that what you're seeing is that what life was offering was, well, 100% can look a million different ways in whatever moment we're in. And that 100% is just being fully within the experience you're having.
Yes, exactly. So life's version of giving 100% is what you just said, and then, you know, conditioning's giving 100% is just this very static, rigid, has to look this way, yes.
And you know what I just saw and what you said, too, is that it's very much along the lines of what we were looking at in the at-home workshop on Saturday, which is that conditioning's version of 100% is competitive, and it's a zero-sum kind of, it means I win. Like you said, I have to run as fast as, you know, the fastest athlete you've ever seen, you know, the Olympic sprinters.
Yeah.
And so there's always that element of comparison. So 100% means the best. And the way I know that I'm the best is that I look around at everyone else around me and compare myself, whereas life is never doing that.
Right.
You know, life
yeah.
is never comparing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my version, well, not always. I mean, there's always comparison. There's comparison floats through a lot, but it's more of a, it's internal, like, you know, like it's going to happen this way, and I'm going to do it this way, and this is, like, how it's going to happen. Like it's an internal like it's I'm going to do it no matter what the consequences, and there's not really any external thing going on.
Yeah, and I love that piece. That's so perfect. And this is the way it's going to happen. You can just setup is just in neon letters, isn't it? Because here's what I'm going to do, and it's going to go this way, and I'm going to feel this way, and then I'm going to perform this way. And of course, we have no idea. No idea. I mean, talk about the illusion of control, right? So then life happens however it happens, and it never happens, you know, precisely the way conditioning said it was going to. And so it never, quote, turns out. And then, you know, if we stay in that story, we're left with, well, that didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, exactly. And then another like example, like thing that floated in while I was running was that I'm training to run a 5K in November.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't signed up yet because I couldn't sign up until I knew for sure that I could run the entire 5K, right? I mean that's ridiculous. I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like I can't, like, until it works out, like the conditioned process indicates it should work out, I can't move forward. Or you know,
and so I completely know. I mean,
what would be the big deal if I signed up and walked the entire time? I mean, really?
Exactly. I mean, crawl. And you know, here would be just, I just have this image. Not that you'd actually do this, although you might. Is sign up, train like crazy, so that you're completely ready to run it, and then walk it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just got a big giggle out of really driving
that way. That would, I mean, I think I would see a whole lot coming in during that, doing that, yeah.
Yeah, I know for me, the thing would be, you know, I want everyone in the sidelines to know, I actually could run it. I could, I'm just choosing not to.
Exactly. Well, and another component is I won't tell my husband because he makes fun of me, which it's a valid making fun of me because I've said for years and years that I was going to run and I never did it. And he generally makes fun of me just to make fun of the conditioning that's keeping me from it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but still, it's like, nope, not going to tell until after I've done it.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's funny.
I mean,
so
but
you
know what floats in from life is it's all, you know, it was just a deeper understanding. It's all about the journey, right? I mean,
Exactly.
I get that at a certain level, but it was just coming in at a deeper level. It's just all about the running from day to day.
Yeah, precisely. And we do, you know, we know that. That's what brings us to whatever we're doing in practice. And then, as you say, we practice with that and we get it on deeper and deeper and deeper levels. And pretty soon, in my experience, it is our day-to-day experience. We do all those things that we know intellectually, if there's a process of it being integrated into our life experience, and we do, we start to just live that way. You know, we don't forget it. So it's exciting.
Mhm. It's very exciting.
Did you sign up?
You know, I haven't, but I will do it tomorrow.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Yeah, because think of all those steps you're getting doing that.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Are you sending them in?
I have not sent them in yet, but I will. Can you say how to do that again?
Yeah.
I'm not clear about that.
whywewalk@livingcompassion.org.
And just send the number in?
Yeah, just send the number. Yep. See, we just went up by like a million probably. Everyone's just being shy in the wings, but I know they're out there doing their steps, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, Janet. Take care. Run well.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air. Yeah, more steps, more exercise. This is great.
It is good. It's such a, I mean, I've said it a million times. It's such a win-win. I really, yeah, I love it. I think I've mentioned that before. I do. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. And I love how there's that complimentary reading in Kindle. It's just, it's so fun. It's a perfect match.
It is a perfect match, yeah. Yep. We're going to have to find some other cause to donate them to after October 4th. Or maybe we'll just keep going. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
But I know I'm not stopping on October 4th.
Me neither. Yeah. And our callers are not stopping either. So let's next one.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hi.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Thanks.
Good.
I just wanted to call in and sort of, I just saw something pretty cool, and I wanted to celebrate it or share it and whatever.
Excellent. This is the place to report cool things. So
yes, it is.
That's good.
So when conditioning would pop up to me with some the kind of content, there's a certain area of content where it likes to just come up with, what about this in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of my day, and that would generate a big, feeling of anxiety, whatever. And then what I'd done or what I'd sort of trained to do or whatever was to say, nope, not going there. And that worked for a long time. And then last week, later in the week last week, the no, not going there was followed up immediately by a yes. Yes, not like yes to conditioning, but more like yes, I can accept this, I can take this, yes, whatever. And then that process of just saying yes really just short-circuited the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Fabulous. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to see if I was with you. So there's been this particular content that conditioning's really been able to get you with, and for quite some time, it's really been effective to just say, no, I'm not going there. Somewhat effective, it sounds like. And then there was this other piece that dropped in a week ago of, yes, just kind of really, it sounds like just really a big place of accepting that that's coming up and that that's all right, and that that really has kind of taken the whole thing a lot deeper.
Yes, it has. It's kind of hard to describe, but it would just, I would go from this, because no would sort of work sometimes, but conditioning would be really persistent and come back, and eventually I would just be kind of, it could lead to getting stuck in it all day.
Yeah.
But with yes, I can deal with this, whatever, there was no an additional sentence. It was just, yes, I can, basically, and it was, And it would just immediately just blow it up, and I would feel buoyant would be a good word. It can really bring me to center and just And I can't remember I'm not sure if it's which book it's in, but there's somewhere in one of Sherry's books, there's an image of the big monster, a little drawing.
Yeah.
And then the person like says, you know, come on in, sit down kind of a thing. And that's the image that comes to mind.
Yeah. You know, basically you're doing a commercial for acceptance, because that is the process that you're talking about, right? Is that, because it is, it's really interesting. It's a subtle thing you're looking at, that place of, no, I'm not going there. It's an important step in practice, but you're right.
Uh-huh.
There is a way in which that can sort of, it's almost like we're still in relationship with it in some way. And so we say, you know, and if the resolve, if the no is strong enough, then we are able to come back to, you know, whatever we're doing, and it kind of fades for a minute. But you can kind of just see it all back there, like, okay, well, he didn't fall for it that time, but let's rally back through and, like, come at it again, because he's still in the fight, you know. But that place of, and basically, I'm adequate to that. There's nowhere else for it to go, because you've accepted it. So there's nothing else to rally and to come back with, because you basically said, all right, come on in, and I know that I'm going to be okay. I know that I'm adequate to this experience.
Yes, I just heard in your explanation, when you were describing what the sort of the voices are scheming, they're saying he's still in the fight, and that's exactly what I think no would do. I would still be in the fight, and once I say yes, so that the fight's over.
Yes, precisely.
So it's been really neat, and one of the fascinating aspects of it was it came out of nowhere. I don't recall, I'm pretty sure, I've been listening to some recordings from last week, and I don't recall anything reading about acceptance or thinking about it or whatever. It just came up with a yes, I can, and then there it was. And now it's something I really want to turn to a lot.
Yep. I love that. I love that, because basically what it is that, I mean, you've practiced for a long time. You've read a ton of stuff. You've listened to a ton of radio shows. You know, you've done a ton of your own recording and listening. And that, to me, when I have those moments like you're describing, I can just feel how it's all informed by that. Like, as you say, you didn't think it up. You didn't come from any particular place. But that because we're practicing, I don't quite know how to describe it, but I guess what it is the wisdom suddenly is there for us. You know, we sometimes talk about the phrase that insight needs experience.
I've heard that phrase. I like it.
Isn't it neat? Yeah. So it's like, there you are, and this thing is going on with you, and this insight drops in that just drops in, but it's informed by all the practice that has come so far to this point.
Yes. Yeah, it's, I don't know what else to add. It was really fascinating, and I think the biggest change in my practice in the last several months, 4 or 5 months, has been having an awareness coach, and
excellent.
That's just something else, a big something else that I think is a big instigator for this one.
Yeah. You know what I just saw when you said that was, because it's such a communication to the whole being, how deep the level of commitment is, you know, to be willing to get a coach. If we get a coach for something, then we're serious about that. You know, we're serious about whatever that, you know, basketball or playing the guitar or whatever it is. If we get a teacher, if we get a coach, especially a one-on-one kind of thing, that's a real communication, I project, of love to the whole being, that this is important. You matter.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. That's good. Anyway, I just want to share that, and I'll make room for another caller.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for checking in.
You bet. Thanks, Jen. See you, Mike.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Claire in Mountain View.
Claire, how are you?
I'm She continuing hates it when I get that place
unmuted.
Yes.
It's like maybe the queue will be really long and I won't be picked.
Exactly.
And you know what? You know what really ups the ante on this new platform is that you have to put yourself in the queue. You have to make a show. I just love that because then it's really, again, just like we were talking about with the awareness coach, it's like it puts the whole system on alert. Look, we're stepping forward to participate.
So, this is going to be so boring and redundant here, but there I go. I want to talk more about the karma that I work with around being busy and fear of failure. That are kind of related.
Sure. Yeah.
So and I notice that a part of me gets despondent, you know, that it's still there, even though like I'm coming to the awareness that this piece of karma is most likely never going to go away. It's always going to be there, and that it's my job to redirect the attention.
So
it's like I have the awareness of what's going on, and I know what I need to do, and then I still get despondent around it all.
And so, okay, so you know a lot about it, and you know what you need to do, and how would you articulate that? What do you need to do?
Well, I need to stop listening to that conversation around, you know, busy, 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 you got to do this, and you're going to fail. But it's like at some level I'm kind of addicted to that. It's like... It's like I can see how it doesn't serve me, but at some level... There's an addiction to doing that. There's a fear of like, you know, well, what is going to happen if I don't do that? And I know, and then I know intellectually that, well, maybe I'm going to be free and maybe my life's going to be better. And then there's still that addiction to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I said this. Well, I guess it was in the Saturday workshop. I said this. This is one of those times I wish we were in a room together, all of us, instead of on the phone, so we could go. Anyone else have that experience? See, everyone raised their hand. Because, I mean, I think you're really pointing exactly at it, that when we get down to that level where you've really seen a ton about this process, you know it's one of the core ways that you suffer, you get what's happening, you get what the way out is, and that oftentimes it still doesn't happen, yeah, we're dealing with addiction there. And that's what we're all dealing with. Is that addiction? I mean, the addiction, we talk about the ultimate addiction is to self-hatred. All other addictions feed that one.
Yeah.
And Claire, do you ever approach it in that way? Because to me, it's really helpful to get that. Because when I see that, when I see that that's what we're up against, that for me can engender a lot of both patience and compassion. Because, I mean, I think about the image of like a heroin addict or, you know, just one of those addictions where the whole system is physically, emotionally, you know, everything about it is addicted to the substance. And then getting to that place of, I don't want it anymore. I see the destruction that's happening. I see how I only feel good for just this tiny amount of time. And then all hell breaks loose, and I really don't want to do it, but that the whole system just shakes like crazy as it, you know, as we're attempting to make that choice not to do it. To me, when I really, really, really take that in, it just brings up so much space for that process to happen, and that it's going to be messy, and it's going to not always go in the quote right direction. It's not going to be linear. There's, you know, it's not about improving or not improving. It's just about, I want to kick this addiction, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes and all, however long it takes. You know, because it isn't a linear thing. It isn't like okay, today I'm better than yesterday, and tomorrow I'm even better than that, and the next day I'm even better than that. I mean, that can happen, And I suspect on the if we were able to see the biggest picture, we would see that that is how it goes. But it doesn't feel like that. You know, it feels like, you know, today I'm right back in it. I'm making those choices, even though I don't want to make those choices, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. Yes, yeah. Like one step forward, two step back. And I suppose that's a key point, is to be patient and kind of myself and have compassion for the one that sees this, wants something new, and continues to get caught in it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's maybe what the recording and listening process offers us, is instead of being the person who's stuck in that, with recording and listening, well, a bunch of things happen. One, the person who does get stuck in that gets to, you know, just talk about what goes on for her there. And it's hard, and with no limitations on, well, you can only say this because that's, you know, in practice, we only such and such. No, just let her talk. Let her talk. Whatever she wants to say, she gets to say it. So she gets to have that experience. Then we get to have the experience of listening back to her and, you know, if we're anywhere close to center, having an experience of compassion and really seeing her and even really getting to know her. And to me, with that comes the insight of, well, no wonder she's doing that. Because if she doesn't feel, you know, I'm making this up from my own examples, but so just apply whatever is relevant. But if she doesn't feel like she's cared for, or like if she's held to a standard of constantly having to do it right, or to be successful in order to be loved, or, well, then no wonder she keeps doing that. You know, in a way it makes perfect sense. In a way it's reasonable and intelligent, you know, what she's doing. So then we get to have that perspective on it. And then we get to make that other movement of moving into the place of that which is assisting her. So instead of being her, we get to be that which is assisting her. And that's a much bigger place to live.
And to be that which is assisting her from a place of compassion as well, rather than from a place of, you know, frustration.
Exactly.
Why are you doing that again?
Exactly. Exactly. Because, boy, I will tell you, you know, it's one of those now I feel like I've been around long enough in practice to be able to say these kinds of things. But, I mean, there are some pieces of karma that had I known in the beginning that they were going to hang on for that long with that kind of tenacity, you know, I might have thrown my hat in the ring. Yeah, I mean, I might have given up just to begin with. But I'm so incredibly grateful that I didn't. Because, I mean, now that I have that much bigger perspective and just can see, oh, my God, it's no wonder that that was there for so long, because there's so much in it. You know, I mean, again, we don't have the big picture at all. I'm clear that I don't, at least, on where does this stuff come from? You know, how deep these karmic grooves are, how much, you know, how deeply ingrained they are in us. So to have that perspective of, okay, well, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, even 10, 11, I mean, it's not years. It's not that long of a time to be looking at karma that's come from God knows when.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And just not to, you know, scare folks who might be new in the process, that can sound overwhelming and depressing. But to me, well, two things about it. One, I really think recording and listening can assist in not being alone in that process. And I think that for me is where the corner really gets turned, is that, yes, maybe this will be a long process of truly breaking this addiction, but when you're not alone in it, it really becomes a different kind of deal. You know, when someone loves, as you say, when someone's not judging you through it, but having that kind of compassion, it's a different process.
And coming at it from a place of, you know, the process of is discovery and looking for the, you know, the treasures that can be revealed as I find more about myself, as opposed from, you know, the conditioned place of looking at it from failure because I haven't, like, changed or done something about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can just hear it in it, can't you? Because, I mean, someone who is all day long being watched like that. Now, you haven't done anything about this. I mean, look at you. You're still da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no fun at all. But someone who is living in a world of, you know, you go, girl. Look at that. Great. You know, all right, come on. Let's go again tomorrow. We'll see more about it tomorrow. And no matter what happens, I don't know if you did the workshop on Saturday, but one of the things I loved was there was a game that we played where you toss a coin, and for every, you know, for heads, I think it was, you marked that you win. For tails, you lose. So that was the first part of the game. And then the next part of the game was no matter what happens, heads or tails, you win. And you mark it down in your book as a win. And it was so funny to watch. I mean, so many people reported this. Conditioning's resistance to that. No! It has to be a win or lose. And
yeah,
so I just
have
to say,
judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. There has to be.
Win,
so
win,
I just had this great image of you at the end of every single day just recording a win. Yay. Great. Good job.
Yeah, that actually is something that would be very helpful, because that would really help to move away from that fear of failure. It's like everything is a win no matter what happens.
Yeah, everything is a win no matter what happens. That's a peace quote. Yes.
Yeah.
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 Right. Yeah. Good for you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Steve Gesher.
Thank you. And you'll report back, yes?
I'll report back. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Claire. Take care. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. And we've come to the end of another great open air.
Already, huh?
Yes, and by definition from that last conversation, this was another winning show.
Another winning show. Yep.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes, thank you, Jen. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.